I'd like to start with a verse, I think 12th chapter of Luke is what I want. And I would appreciate your prayers. We need the Lord to help us. I've kind of had a problem with my voice for a little while and need the Lord to help us with it tonight. Luke 12 and 34 says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he that girdeth himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or he come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. For this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through." Well, this seems like an obvious statement.
Yes.
I thought about that statement. He says, "If had he known."
Yes.
How much would I trouble would I avoided if I'd only known?
Yes.
I mean, you think about it, that statement, and think about our lives. I wouldn't have took off to town if I knew my tire was flat. I'd have just fixed it. I'd have fixed it at the house. Or that little accident I had, if I'd have known that, I'd have went a different way.
Yes.
You think of the application of this thought. Had we known. But we don't know. That's not life. Life is that you don't know. We need the Lord because I don't know. I need the Lord because I don't know what tomorrow holds. But the Lord said something here in this passage of Scripture. You're blessed if you're watching, if you pay attention, if you're taking care of the things as they come. There's a Scripture that says to not let the sun go down on your wrath. It's for a reason. Don't start building up things. It's really, really hard to take care of a lot of things after they get built up. But the idea is don't carry that till tomorrow. Take care of the needs as they come. There's a time given for it. It's best to be able to look at the situation. We're at the beginning of the revival meeting. I think this is very fitting tonight. That Lord willing, many of you will be here through the meeting, and hopefully the Lord's going to be talking and working. And the idea is that as it's presented, take care of it. As take care of the things as they come. When you find yourself, it happens sometimes. We sometimes will get out of order, and maybe we say something that we look back and say, "Well, I shouldn't have said that." The best thing to do is say, "I'm sorry for that. I shouldn't have said that." You can let the devil take it for a long ways and build up a lot of stuff, but it's really better to just humble and take care of it. I have a mechanic I use sometimes at home. His name's Tom. And I've always marveled at this because it's so much not my personality. And I have a lot of trouble because it's not my personality. And I know that some things can go too far, but I can take my vehicle to Tom's garage and I can pull into a garage that everything, and I mean everything, is where it's supposed to be. Now, I've seen a lot of garages. And it's a rare garage that you walk into and everything's where it's supposed to be. I went to a mechanic one time years ago and I was kind of in a hurry and he was going to work on my something. And anyway, the mechanic was trying to find, and a half inch wrench was a very common wrench. And he went to looking for his half inch wrench
and looked up on the shelves, and he went over to this shelf that had sockets and wrenches and tools, and he's scratched, pulling on them, and he's looking, no, that ain't it, and he's looking around, and the time that it took him to do that, I'm sitting there twiddling my thumbs thinking, come on, find a wrench. Well, this doesn't happen at Tom's, because Tom uses his wrench, and he puts it back in the section where half inch wrench. He got everything, he got air, he takes the hose down, he puts his impact on it, and he gets his socket and he does it. When he gets through, he takes his socket, he puts it in the proper socket pot, he takes it and rolls his cord up, puts it up there, and he puts it back. When you pull out of his garage, no matter what he's done, if he's cut off tailpipes or whatever, before he makes your bill out or whatever, he puts everything in his. When you pull out of his garage, it's just like when you pulled in. Everything is in his place and proper. And what it does, it keeps him from tearing his stuff up. He don't run over his hose. He doesn't run over his impact wrench. He doesn't lose the socket down the hole. It saves him a little bit of doing it now. Saves him an enormous job after a while. If he just went throwing things everywhere, he would lose things. He would tear things up. And at the end of it, he'd have a mess, and he'd be so discouraged that he wouldn't even want to start working on it to clean it up. Because I've got a lot of buildings at the house that way. And I know what it's like. If it's a little bit, you think, but oh, what a major job this is to clean these things up after you just keep throwing things in there. There's a time that the Lord gives us to deal with things in our lives. Yes. The best time to deal with the things of our life is when the Lord brings it to our attention. Yes. I had a... What kind of brought this thought to my mind this last week? This has been happening quite a bit with me, where I think that I can remember something or think I'm going to do something, and then I forget that. Like, I will be out, and this is my reading glasses that I carry about everywhere. Well, sometimes I'll take them out to work on the mower or something, and I'll get sidetracked, and I will say to myself, I should put them where they belong. But it would take a few steps to do that, so I'm going to lay them on the tailgate of the truck. Or I'm going to put them on the boat. Or I'll put them somewhere. And then a couple hours later, I'll go in all tired, and I'll sit down in the chair, and I'll go to read at something, look at something, and I go look for my glasses, and I can't find my glasses. And my glasses was on the truck, and I took the truck wherever, and they come off the truck. And you know, a lot of times I know people that have come out, and instead of putting their Bible where the Bible should go, they put their Bible, anybody ever been guilty of that? They put the Bible up on top of the vehicle, or put it on the hood of the vehicle. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. You just get it later, right? You just pick it up later. And then somebody's like, anybody seen my Bible? Well, last time I seen it, it was on your hood of your car. Oh, well, that was down the road there. I wonder where between here and there is my Bible. You know, our spiritual lives can be very much that way. But not putting the things, well, what happened to me was I had these rocks, and I had these nice pair of leather gloves, and I went to do something, and I started putting my gloves off and put it on these buckets in the back of my truck, and I said, I should put the gloves in the truck where I always put them. But that would take two steps and open the door. So I won't forget this time, because I'm only going to go get the rake, and I'm going to come back, and I'll put my gloves on top of the bucket of rocks in the back of my truck. And do you know, it took a couple minutes, and I forgot. I forgot all about it. And I knew that if I drove off with that those gloves weren't going to stay on that bucket of rocks. And I didn't realize it until I got to where I was going, and I get out of the truck. Oh no, I put my gloves on there, and there. I went, and sure enough, it was one of them was still there on the deck, and the other one wasn't on there. And I'm like, why didn't I take the time when the time was right? If I would have took the time to just put the gloves, just a little bit of time to take care of that, make that precious. The Lord says, blessed are those that are watching, those that are paying attention, that isn't letting the clutter of life built up in their life, and the clutters and the bitternesses and the heartaches and the things that happen in life and the discords and the things that happen between people and the unforgivenesses and all that can happen in human life, that they're not just building up on there, but that they're taken care of. There's a time to take care of these things, and the time is when you got the time. The time is now is the time to do it, is to take care of the matter of your soul. You got something in there that's making you dysfunctional with your family, or something that's a problem to you. It's time to take care of it when there's a proper time given. Now is the best time to do it, because the truth is, and we know this to be true. You've heard this. Many of you have heard this for a long time. We've preached this for years. I've heard it for years. I heard it before I was ever even started preaching. I heard the old preachers say it. If the Lord's dealing with you in one of these messages, they say, in one of these services, we have the altar open, so to speak. It doesn't have to be this altar. It's wherever you meet God at. But always have said, don't allow that conviction. Don't allow that thought to escape you without doing something. Because this is the time to do it. And you may say, I have every intention of taking care of that. But the wise man was always saying, we know what happens when you get out that door. And we know how it lessens when you drive 20 miles. And we know how it lessens if you sleep on it the next day. We know what happens with that. And so it's always been said, there's a time to take care of these things. Take care of it when the Lord has got the fire built. When it's the time to do it. And the honest truth of it is, I've tore a lot of stuff up. You know, it's a good idea, especially for you children that's got bicycles. Can I tell you something about bicycles? It's really good to put them where they're supposed to be instead of leaving them behind a vehicle somewhere. You know how many bicycles I've heard crunch under my vehicles? I can't see them back there. And the thing about it is it didn't take that much to put that bicycle where it goes. I remember last year I had my water hose out in the yard, and I had got a new nozzle for it. You know, they come and go, they're cheap things, but they, you know, I had the end of it, and I put it out there, and I knew I should roll that up and put it where it was. I was in a hurry. I'll see that thing when I drive back around here. I didn't. And I drove over it and busted the new nozzle, drove right over top of it, causing myself more problems all the time by not taking care of the things as they come. Now's the time to take that little bit of extra effort and put something where it belongs, where it goes. Now listen, I'm not really interested in the way you conduct your home. I mean, in the sense, if you want to leave your hose out in the yard. I mean, that's not what my point is. Yes. The point is that there's a time to take care of things. That's the best time to take care of it. To be watchful and to be prayerful. To be paying attention to what the Lord wants us to do. And I would say many times more in the day that we live in, I think we all that are adult here and have lived long enough feel the time that we're in. The changing time, the changing mentality of the people, the changing spirit of the people, the violent part of it, the fierceness of it, that the scripture says it'd be there at the end of time. That is coming on more and more. And the best time to take care of the things of your life is now. Is to take care of them at this time. Because who can even know or wonder how you'll feel at a later time? So there's a few things I want to look at in the scriptures here now. Over in Ecclesiastes, familiar scripture. Third chapter. Starts off by saying to everything. Everything? I don't know what else could be said. What can you say? Everything. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Well, when is that time? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. There's no better time than the present to take care of something. Lord, help us. There is a time. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. All of these things had a time. All of the time is at the will of God. God made seasons and times for every purpose under the sun. God makes a time to be able to deal with you about the needs of your soul. God has a time to bring us to a place to where we can deal with the things that we need to deal with. God's on the scene. He's taking care of those things. And he brings certain things and certain times into our life. I've seen it all my life, believing that I could see where the Lord was bringing somebody to it, and possibly it was an affliction, or possibly it was something that was overwhelming, or something that humans can't take care of, that makes people say, I need more than I've got. Back during what's known to us in history as 911 now, rocked the nation. It touched the karma, the sensitive places and a lot of people. It touched it. More people have died. I said 47,500 people die in car accidents every year, but it didn't touch the same thing in our lives this did. This touched something. Do you know there was an excellent time given to people who was stirred by that, that said something was so much out of our control, and we want to be in control. We want to be able to stop things like that, and we call to our nation, do something about, we want a law enforcement that can find out what the bad people are doing before they do it. We want to do all that kind of stuff. But I want to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that the race ain't to the swift or the war or the battle to the mighty, to the strong. Well, who is it to then? I'm going to tell you, in the midst of all of it, just because you're faster don't mean you're not going to blow out your knee. And just because you're strong don't mean that there's some errant error going to catch you before you ever get your strength. I told Sister Maxine this. She said, well, it was something about hearing this, but this is my testimony. We was going home from our last trip from the Osho, going home. I was set on cruise control, so I was going 70-ish, and driving along, and nighttime, they was doing whatever they was doing in the van. We wasn't talking or anything. And just kind of instantly, there was a number of cars ahead of me, and it just all of a sudden it was just a starburst of red brake lights come on, just like that. And the car ahead of me had me blocked to seeing anything, and it went right real quick, and left me right face to face with what had just happened there. And a car had went over this way and was setting with its tail end back into the road, and another car was drifting in, and there was kind of a passage through there. And I just seen it, and here I am, 70 miles an hour, and just had to go, between what seemed tight. I don't know if it was actually that tight. It was just that everything was so fast and chaotic, and went through there, and I felt on my tires the broken glass or whatever it was from the vehicles, and I felt it on my tires, and I got through that, and just as soon as I got beyond that, almost like I'd made it, the other car was coming back and slowing down so much in my left lane that there was nothing I could do but still going. I never hit the brake yet. I mean, I may have just started to get on them, but I had to go completely over in the median and was going a bumpy, very bumpy ride. We kind of fishtailed at one point, and I just drove right through and was able to go on and get on the highway, and my heart was kind of up my throat, and I think there was a number of Lord help us in the moments, and we had got through. And anyway, my wife being very thankful, and she made the comment and said, that was good driving. I'm going to tell you something. Had God not done that, you can't be good enough drivers to avoid some of the things out there. We happened to be at a place that there wasn't a bridge abutment. There wasn't concrete barriers. There wasn't another vehicle that had come over and pinched me off before I could get through there. Because had there been those elements in there, you can't drive good enough. There's no way. We need the Lord. We need to be watching and praying. Had I seen that, I would have backed way off. Had I known this was about, I didn't know it was going to happen. And I don't know what's going to happen going on tonight. Or in the middle of the night. I don't know what call might come. I don't know any of that. And the Lord didn't say, I'm going to tell you that so you can. What the Lord said was, take care of the things as they come. But be watchful, be prayerful. Make this like the last day of your life. Be ready to meet the Lord. Take care of the moments that you need to take care of. They may seem trivial, but you know that with the mechanic, every piece of the stuff that he has, he uses at some point. He might not use it a lot, but he wants to know where it's at, when he needs to use it so he can get it and use it efficiently and well. And that's why he puts it back right where it's supposed to be, so he'll know where it's at, and he takes care of all those things. Lord, help us to take care of the things in our life that we need to take care of, because there's a time given to take care of it. And it's not time to take care of it after you've lost it out in the grass for 2 weeks and you're wondering where it's at. That's what happens to me sometimes. Where's my crescent wrench at? Well, last time I seen it, she was working on the lawnmower out there. Well, where was the mower at? It's probably out there yet. Where's it at? No, put it back where the crescent wrench belongs. And you'll know you have it in this place. Take care of the elements of your life. And then they're took care of. You know what brings a real peaceful life to us? Is the knowing it's all well. When the all of the turmoil of this world is coming down around you and you see all the things around there, around that, isn't it something to know that all my things are in place? Isn't it a blessing to know that? There's a time, it says, for everything. There's a time to be saved. There's a time to reconsecrate some things. There's a time to get deeper in the Lord. There's a time to, consecrate things that's never been consecrated before. There is a time that the Lord calls for things. And what I'm concerned about tonight is, and see it so plainly in my own life sometimes, there's a time to do something, and that time is like a window. And it's there, and it works well in that window. But after a while, the time of that is gone, and it's hard to recall those things ever again. Sometimes they're gone forever. There may be a plan B or a plan C or a D with the Lord to do something. But a lot of times the moment of the real fruit of that moment is gone. Lost to the ages because it wasn't done something with. Sometimes there possibly could be souls involved, family members involved. There could be people involved that we were supposed to be influencing in that certain time. But we lost the moment because it didn't last that long. I'm 60 years old now, and I have a lot of nostalgia about things. It's kind of nice to think a lot about the things. And me and my sister was talking recently, and I remember seeing this thing about this elderly woman had heard this song. She was up in years, and she heard a song that was a popular tune back when she was a teenager. She starts crying. People looked at her like, and I said, I know why she's crying. Don't you? I mean, maybe I can't articulate it very well, but what she's feeling is that those memories that come is gone. They're memories of a time gone, and all that it meant. It may not be regret or anything, but it's a time that's gone. You can't do anything else with it. It's a memory of a long time ago without any hope to do anything with it anymore. I know what it feels like to them. I'm 60 years old. I mean, I can have some of those thoughts. And as a matter of fact, I was thinking when I come in here, it's been 26 years. It'll be 27 years in the fall since I held the first revival year, best my memory is. This is a different congregation. A lot of people that was here is not here. A lot of them's gone into eternity. There's been a lot of changes. Julie, you was a little old girl. You was a little girl. I don't know how old you was, but you sang. I remember you and your mom and sister sang. Your sister was wee small. And but it's a changing, it was a Burdette. The Burdettes, I think, was here at the time. It was a change. It's a changing thing. There was a time. Those times are gone, and that's the way it works. And there's a time to take care of things in our lives. This moment will never happen again for you. This is one of a kind. This is one of a kind. This happens tonight like this. It'll never happen like this again. Exactly. This is maybe someone's moment. It might mean eternity. Lord, help us. Blessed are those that are found watching. Another scripture. Over in Matthew, I think I want Matthew's version of this. Matthew, the 19th chapter. Matthew 19 and 16 of Matthew says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may inherit, or that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All of these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. He went away. But wait, young man, you could say, this is your window. You don't get to come and ask that again. This is your time. The great God of heaven that loves you and is concerned for you have led your path and give you breath and opportunity that you could walk up to the Son of God and ask him, what do I need that I can go to heaven? And he didn't spare. One of the other versions said, and Jesus loved him. Meaning that he was willing to impart to him the truth. He loved him enough to tell him the truth. That's what love is. And he loved him. So he imparted to him, this is your problem. This is what's going to keep you out of heaven. And you right now have come and felt the weight, sorrow. You know there is a godly sorrow. Works repentance. There's a godly sorrow that's going to do something. But this man went away, so he had great riches, and so he went away. And so the window's closing now. Young man, you didn't have much. You had a space, an opportunity of time. We hope there was a plan B or C or D for this man's life somewhere. The Bible never says anything like that. This is the time and opportunity that Jesus spoke to him, directly to him. He felt sorrow. He knew something was true. But he walked away from that. Oh, he done the wrong thing. I'm going to tell you, he done the wrong thing. Put the tools back in their place. Young man, you've spent your life putting the things in its proper place. No murder, no adultery. Honored your mother and father. You loved your name. You done all the commandments and you put everything in your place. And now here's one you need to put in its place. And he went away sorrowful. How many things did he say? He said, one thing thou lackest. How many? One thing. Young man, you lack one thing. Maybe the Lord could have commended him. I don't know. Maybe the Lord could say, I know you. I know the seriousness that you've done this with and the understandings that you had. But you lack something. It's going to mean something to you. You lack something. And you need to take care of that. And here's your golden opportunity. Go do it. Get rid of all the stuff that you have. Your heart's so heavy on it. You have it so much in your heart. It's been a God to you. It's your God. Get rid of it and come and follow me. And you'll have life eternal. And for the one thing he denied it. And he walked away sorrowful. There's no indication that there was another window or opportunity of time for him to be in that position ever again. Yes. That's why it was so important. The timing has always been important. You remember there was a time in the Bible? Some of these things are a little hard to understand for me. But there was a time in the Bible and there was a pool. And the angel came down once a year, I think it was, and stirred the water in the pool. And whoever was the first one to get in the water, it was an opportunity. Do you know who I imagine was the first one to get in? We know it wasn't the one man because he's lame and all those kind of things. It would have been hard not knowing when he was going to do it. The Bible seemed to speak like nobody knew when the angel was going to come down. You had to be there when an angel come down. And I imagine year after year, the one that got in there was the one that was diligent enough to be close. I doubt if he was very far off from it. I imagine he was right on the edge of it. When that angel comes, I'm going to be here to stick my toe in. I'm ready to do it right here. I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be here and I'm going to be excited about it. I'm going to stay here and see this because this is what I want. I want this bad enough to see it. What did Elijah tell Elisha? If you're there, you're going to have to see it. You know, you're going to have to be diligent enough to be there. Remember the man that was 30 some years, I think it was, and he had no man to help him in. He couldn't get up. He couldn't do it. Timing was important. But you know, there was something else that timing hit for this man. Jesus was the real one that stirred the water. Jesus was the one that brought the healing. And when Jesus met this man, here's his opportunity and time. There was a time where a blind man was sitting and Jesus came by. Here's an opportunity for a man. The wind is small. Never seen him. He didn't see him come by me. He never come by me before. What's the commotion about? Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. And what did he do? He started screaming, yelling, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," they told him. "You're disturbing things. Be quiet." "Why should I be quiet? The wind is too small. There's not enough opportunity in my life now. It's a very small window. Jesus is coming by, and I intend to get his attention. And I'm going to scream, and I'm going to scream. And if I don't, I'll still be screaming. But I'm going to scream, Lord, have mercy on me." And the Lord wasn't like the other ones. All dismissed. "No, be quiet. Don't bother the master. Don't be quiet. You ain't important enough," or whatever they said. Oh, he was important enough for Jesus' ear. And Jesus came by in the space and opportunity, and his ferventness granted him the sight of his eyes. Because he didn't put it off. Now's my moment. Jesus is coming by. This is the moment that the Lord has done this for me. There was another place where Jesus said, perhaps for someone here tonight, Jesus said to his disciples, I need to go by Samaria. What do you do? I know. There's somebody. Jesus diverted and went and met a woman at a well because there was something crying. And the window of opportunity was open for a little while. Jesus knew that and he went by. Perhaps Jesus says, "I'm going by tonight to call someone, to speak to someone, to have an opportunity that they ain't had. Here's the opportunity. Now's the time to have an order in our life." 22nd verse of the 24th chapter of Acts. It says, "And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or to come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." I suppose there's a lot of things in the Bible that would be considered the foolish thoughts. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. But I imagine of all the foolish things that this surely tops the list is somewhere along the line of not having an understanding. When I have a convenient time, that's letting it be stolen. When I have a convenient time, when is the convenient time? Everything worth doing is worth pressing for. Everything worth having is worth fighting for. When I have the convenient time, when it's comfortable, when I have the right means, when I got enough money, when I've established my life, when I have everything in order, then Paul, I'm going to call for you. When is the convenient time? Oh, foolish Felix, let me tell you. You have had the opportunity to tremble. I know it doesn't feel good to tremble, but when God's talking and you tremble, thank God for it. Felix trembled at it, of righteousness, judgment, temperance and judgment. Nailed him. Got him. God speaking to his heart. He trembled. Felix, this is the greatest opportunity that you'll ever have to find salvation. Because God is talking to your heart. This is your opportunity. This is your space and your time. To everything, there is a season. This is your season, Felix. I never had the opportunity. God dealt with me. Thank God the way he did it. But one of the most notable people in the scriptures and most consequential people in the scriptures was Paul. And he was sent to the Gentiles. And this man was a Gentile. And the power of the Lord's gospel was preached to his heart. And he trembled. Oh, it was time, Felix. Felix, it was time to say, "Paul, what must I do?" Repent, Felix. Turn your heart to the Lord and find his salvation. Oh, Paul, what you said got me trembling. When I get everything in order, I'm going to call for you. Maybe he did. I don't like to assume too far, but there's no indication in the scriptures. And our very experimental knowledge tells us it's not likely. Because if he didn't do it under that kind of trembling, when was he going to do it? God was working with him and dealing with him and touching his heart at that time and that moment. God knows your time and moment. He's made us his free will. I believe that. I believe God made free will. And we can turn the Lord down. In his workings in our life, we can turn it down and say, "No, thank you, Lord." But he deals with us. And he makes the time right for every one of us. It's why in my ministry, for the most time, when it comes to souls, I want to do what the Lord does, but I also want to remove my hands off of trying to make them do anything. Because God will have the right time to bring them to the knowledge that they need, to bring them to the right place. I can trust in Christ to love you more than I can and bring you to that place. And the things that you have in your life that need corrected, don't just dismiss them. There is a time. There is a time that the Lord wants to deal with us about all of these matters. Felix trembled. Under the weight of Paul's preaching, he trembled. It says that his wife was a Jewess for a reason. There must have been some influence into these things. He had some kind of a working knowledge about some of these things, enough to listen, and he listened. And Paul, I like to have heard the message myself. It just says that I like to have heard exactly what he told him. But whatever it was enough to make him tremble. I've seen people tremble. I've seen people tremble and turn away. I've seen them be moved and turn away. And I've also seen them get hard and go a long ways. I've seen tender-hearted people. I've seen people that was devout move away from it. I've seen them not take advantage of the time that was allotted to take care of things. Sometimes we can be disappointed. Put disappointment in its right place. God will help us to take care of disappointments. There's sometimes you're going to have to consecrate disappointments, folks. Maybe you're disappointed in a leader or somebody didn't do something you thought they should do. Is it possible that God said to them, do that? There's a time for everything. Maybe God wants to talk to you about your disappointing nature. Seeing things that way. David said, perhaps when the man cursed him, perhaps God has said, curse David. Would God say, curse David? I don't know what all God would do in the process of his work for our souls. But David looked at it that way. Don't bother him, perhaps David. But God has said, let me get the good out of it. Perhaps this is my time to humble my heart and find God in a greater way. So somebody says something about you. Is it the end of the world because somebody says something about you? You know, the Bible says that they said they did that about the Lord. We should take courage that they did it more to the Lord than they would us. Lord, help us. They called him Beelzebub, works of the devil. Well, if I can be like Christ, then I guess they'll say that about me somewhere along the line too. Someone messaged me yesterday, I think it was, and said, or day before, and said, people accuse me of being, they said it, something about people are saying that I go too far or something like that, or that I'm radical because I give 100% to the Lord. And I said, they said the same thing, that's what my message back to them was. Well, I've been accused of that too. I imagine everybody that loves the Lord and gives the Lord everything would be accused of that somewhere along the line. You know, we have a time and a place. Lord, help us tonight. If you got anything that you need to take care of, I would admonish you tonight. Take care of it. It's time to get it all back in order. Put the things up. Because what we don't understand is the difference between, if you can get the picture, I can pull into a garage and I know the mechanic knows where every tool's at. What a blessing it is to me when he pulls in there and I say I need something and he goes and gets it and does it. I pulled into garages that I didn't know how you could find anything. You know, a spiritual life, as the world looks onto our life, are they looking at chaos? Are they looking at disorder? Is it really putting out that this thing is just scattered and a big mess? Or does it speak of the very order of God? And again, I don't care what your yard looks like. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how our spiritual life is with people. If you say God is real in your own heart, don't disconnect yourself from that in the rest of your life. If God rules in the universe and he's real and he loves me as much as I say he loves me, then that's got to speak something to the people around me of a steadiness, of a calmness, and not being moved by everything that comes along. Yeah, the world's doing all this thing, but my God still rules. Yeah, the nation's going down, but the Bible kind of said that it would. And Jesus is still in control of my life. And there's nothing can touch me unless it says that he can. Lord, help us to put these things back into the order of our life so we might be able to shine what the Lord is really about. There's a time and a purpose to everything. Let's be watchful. Let's be prayerful. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.